Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the second part of our discussion about stress. You know, this month, April, is National Stress Awareness Month, and we're talking to an expert, Dr. M.A. Shunney. Dr. Shunney has a practice out in California, in Santa Cruz, California, and is an expert on integrative endocrinology, which involves an understanding of the chemicals that cause stress reactions in our bodies, as well as our sex hormones. And in the first part of our podcast, we talked a little bit about the physiology of stress, what's actually happening to our bodies. In this part of the podcast, we're going to talk about natural ways of stress busting for women, moms, and for everyone. So what's on your list of natural strategies for dealing with stress?
Well, one of the first things I like to do is look at nutrition. You know, often most people only correlate nutrition and stress together when they think about all the terrible things they do with food when they're stressed out. And of course, many of us are prone to emotionally eating and not making food choices that we might usually make when we're under a lot of stress.
So stress in some ways begets bad eating, but conversely, mm-hmm. bad eating begets stress. It's a vicious cycle.
It goes both ways. It does. It's a vicious cycle. And of course, you know, nutrition really being a big part of self-care, and for most of us, when we get stressed out, self-care goes out the window. So we often see that first with food. And, you know, in the context of talking about busy moms, and parents in general, you know, it's kind of a little bit of an epidemic that we get up in the morning, we get breakfast on the table for our kids, we get their lunches packed, we're probably getting ourselves ready to get out the door too, and oftentimes we're just kind of picking at what they have on the table and maybe skipping breakfast ourselves. And so I think one of the most important things to think about in regards to managing stress is eating for balanced blood sugar. So I really try to encourage people to make sure that they do not skip meals and that they are eating regularly throughout the day. Each time they eat, making sure to get good quality protein, good quality fat, so that they get a very sustained energy source and they're getting off of that blood sugar roller coaster. That can happen if we don't eat regularly or we eat too much sugar and refined carbohydrate. And of course, when we're on a blood sugar roller coaster, our mood is unstable and we have mood swings that can feel unpredictable. And that, of course, can lead to not managing our stress very well. So I find that eating for balanced blood sugar kind of begets mood stability, which is going to make it much more likely that we can get a better handle on whatever stress comes our way.
You know, a few years, I've been doing glucose tolerance tests now for 25, 30 years on my patients. And, you know, the test lasts 4 or 5 hours. And I remember doing a little bit of a science fair project with that. Oh, must have been 20-some years ago, is when patients got to their lowest blood sugar, and we were able to see this because we used glucometers, so they gave us instant readouts, we would, at that point, draw a norepinephrine level. Norepinephrine, fancy word for adrenaline. And what we found was quite remarkable. In the vast majority of cases, when patients had their lowest blood sugar, their adrenaline spiked to dramatically high levels. So mm-hmm. it really is true that one way to help you deal with, and this wasn't necessarily because something stressful was happening. These patients were sitting in easy chairs in our relaxed laboratory, and you know they were watching TV, and nothing stressful mm-hmm. was happening except that their blood sugar had plummeted, and the body reacts. So clearly, right. there's something to this.
Yeah, and one of the things I see with my patients so much, particularly, is, you know, getting awakened in the middle of the night. And often if we kind of look at blood sugar and look at adrenal health and we trace it back also to, you know, midnight snacks or bedtime snacks, which, you know, often are sugary and carby, and, you know, we get to a point where maybe we used to compensate for that really well, but we don't so much anymore. People eat like that and then they go to sleep and then their blood sugar comes down and then their adrenaline spikes and wakes them up.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just changing, you know, changing what they're eating towards the end of the day can make a huge difference there as well. And like you said, nothing particularly stressful was happening. They were sleeping.
Yeah.
And it woke them up.
And some people will say, gee, you know, it was interesting. I went on this diet and you said it was going to help me with whatever we were going to help them with. And, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's their high blood pressure or for weight loss or to lower their cholesterol. And they say, oh, and by the way, I'm sleeping much better. My sleep is so much deeper now, because that's a consequence of evening out your blood sugar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why when it comes to talking about stress, that's where I head back to, is that blood sugar balancing, mood stabilizing diet, because I think, you know, mood and blood sugar are incredibly connected. And then, of course, when your mood is more stable, you're much more likely to manage the stress that comes your way. So, you know, that's kind of where I go with that.
Okay.
And then once I get them dialed into eating regularly and get balance of blood sugar, and then I'm really talking to them about, okay, good quality fat, which I think is something that particularly for women, I mean, even now in light of what nutritional science has shown us, we're still afraid of eating fat because it's going to make us fat. And of course it's not, particularly if you're eating good quality fat, which to me is fish and avocado and nuts and seeds and olives and olive oil. Particularly the omega-3 essential fats in fish, which have been shown to have a clear connection to blood sugar balance and also to mood stability. It's been shown in studies to be a treatment for depression. Other smaller studies, but still compelling, have shown it to be effective with anxiety and even to help reduce excess levels of stress hormones. So, plus it's far-reaching anti-inflammatory activities. But in the context of this conversation, you know, fish and potentially fish oil supplementation is a useful intervention.
And there are actually some studies that show that certain heart arrhythmias, which are caused by the sympathetic nervous system, when the heart speeds up and goes into an irregular rhythm, that's sometimes a sign that there's too much acceleration going on. That the use of omega-3 fatty acids, people taking fish oil or consuming more fish, have a reduced incidence of these arrhythmias. So there really is something to this, that the right
and blood
kind
pressure
of
pressure.
Yes, there's something about the omega.
Everything. Yeah, exactly.
Something about the omega balance that has an impact on that. What about are there natural adaptogens that are helpful that you found useful for people subject to stress?
Absolutely. I individualize the herbs that I use. Based on who I'm dealing with. Sometimes if somebody is extremely depleted, I want to be careful about using certain adaptogens because I think they'll be overstimulating, you know, like the ginsengs and maca and things like that, which can be incredibly useful, wonderful therapies for hormone imbalance, including adrenal dysfunction and stress management. But again, if you're too depleted, they can zing you, and so you've got to be careful. There are other more gentle adaptogens, things like rhodiola, holy basil, ashwagandha, although ashwagandha can zing you also if you're not careful. Wild oats can be great. Licorice is an interesting one. I mean, as long as you don't have high blood pressure, licorice can be very useful in helping you keep the cortisol that you have around longer. So I find licorice to be very helpful also. Cordyceps, some of the mushrooms. The wonderful thing about adaptogenic herbs is that there's many to choose from, and you can kind of tailor it to the person's constitution and what other issues the person might be dealing with as well. Might make, you know, for instance, if there's thyroid issues, you know, the ashwagandha might be particularly useful when working with stress or, you know, something like that.
So clearly those may play a role.
Definitely.
I'm just noticing right on my desk, it's nice and warm here in New York, but still a little dry, and my lips are very chapped. So I have in my hand something unusual, which is a chapstick, but it's Eco Lips made by Nordic Naturals. So it's got omega-3 fatty acids in it. This reminds me to talk a little bit about quality on omega-3 fatty acids. We've discussed this numerous times with experts. Does it matter?
It definitely matters. I mean, it matters with all supplements, right? But here you have fish oil, which is a volatile oil, just like your cooking oil, if you will. So we know how our cooking oil can go rancid if exposed to oxygen or exposed to light or just, you know, left out too long. So, you know, it's extremely important when dealing with fish oil to make sure that you have a manufacturer that is ensuring that their oil is not exposed to oxygen, that, you know, dioxins and metals and other things that can come from the ocean are properly removed, you know, and that you are getting an oil that tastes good and is at a therapeutic dose. And, you know, for me, I have always found since I was in school 16 years ago, when I first got introduced to Nordic Naturals, that they, I feel like they've really set the bar for excellence in manufacturing standards in this country. And I find them clinically to just be very reliable. I know people are going to like the way they taste. I know they're going to metabolize them well. And I know I can count on the fact that they don't have to take 10 pills to get the dose that I want them to get.
Their headquarters in the United States is actually somewhere near you, isn't it?
They're very near me. They're in Watsonville.
Watsonville, California, right, which is just across the hills from you. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful facility, I hear. I haven't been there, but I would like to... maybe they'll invite me out there.
It looks like a little fishing village. It's really beautiful. They've done an amazing job. It's a gold certified LEED building. It's beautiful. They're a great company. You know, they treat their people well. They treat the people that fish the oceans well. And they're stewards of the environment. That's always felt important to me, also.
And they're run by this cool Scandinavian guy. I don't know, remember what country he's from, but he's
from Norway.
He's from Norway.
I mean, his
story
is that he came over to San Jose to get an MBA, mm-hmm. And he had some old athletic injuries and couldn't find the fish oil that he had come to rely on as a kid to help him with his aches and pains.
He comes from a fishing tradition, multi-generation fishing family.
Yeah, yeah. And so he started, you know, bringing it over in duffel bags and, of course, was getting his MBA. So said, this is a good idea.
So it grew
up out of his garage.
Wow. Like
and
many,
now they're the biggest,
many,
they're the
many
biggest
great
sellers
startups.
Of fish oil in the country.
That's amazing. All right, on your list of recommended supplements, I see on your tip sheet, we got to talk about magnesium because magnesium plays a major role in the stress reaction. So share that with us.
Yeah, well, magnesium is wonderful. I mean, it's a smooth muscle relaxant, so it actually helps with muscle tension. It helps keep your bowels regular, which, you know, for many people, especially women, can be stressful. So that's helpful too. And, you know, most
but
of
also,
us...
But also a sign of stress because, I mean, stress reactions can go two ways. But if you're in sympathetic overdrive, that may mean that your bowels are locked up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're not dead, because that's not where your focus is, right? Your body's not in parasympathetic mode where it's digesting well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and eliminating well. So it makes perfect sense that would happen, and the magnesium can be really useful for that.
So that would be an important part of a stress program.
I think so, and just, you know, relaxing the muscle tension. I mean, when you're under stress and you've got all those stress hormones coursing through your body and your shoulders are up around your ears, and the truth is that many of us, particularly if we're eating from conventionally raised soil, you know, we're lacking a lot of minerals because our soil has been so depleted. And so, depending on who you read, many of us are magnesium deficient, and that's a big issue. So, I mean, I like patients to take calcium and magnesium in a 1-to-1 ratio, and I think magnesium is really important.
Rather than just a lot of calcium.
Like a 2-to-1. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I think most people need magnesium more than they need calcium.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
B-complex supplements, they too may play a role in mood regulation.
Yeah. I mean, we always hear about our stress Bs, right, or B-complexes for stress. I am particularly interested in methylated B vitamins,
yes.
Particularly methylated B12 and methylfolate. As it turns out, quite a few of us, maybe even as many as half of us, don't take dietary B vitamins and turn them into these methylated forms, which are so essential for so many enzymatic pathways in our body, including those that metabolize hormones, that detoxify, that produce neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. So I very much like to have people take methyl B12, methylfolate, maybe some trimethylglycine to help kind of drive that as well.
And for our listeners,
I find that can often be better than your usual, you know, B complex.
Your usual B complex. Yes, those are actually rapidly becoming passé because we're recognizing that a lot of people have difficulty metabolizing the old-fashioned B vitamins. And
right.
A heads up to our listeners, in a couple of weeks we're going to be interviewing one of the world's experts on the subject of this MTHFR controversy, who's Dr. Ben Lynch, mm-hmm. who's going to help it's a very, very complicated new paradigm, but he's going to help shed some light on what people need to do and what testing options are available and what sort of treatment options available. But I see that you're ahead of the curve. You're incorporating this already in your practice out there in California.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, for me, again, I do a lot of hormone balancing in my practice. So, you know, I always have an eye towards what's going to benefit hormone metabolism as well. If I'm giving estrogen, I really want to do everything I can to make sure the body can manage it as well as possible.
Well, let's talk about the hormones, because a lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of women of a certain age, you know, whether they're 38 or 45, 52, 64, they may be having trouble sleeping. Their stress levels escalate. Part of that is situational life circumstances. They're in the sandwich generation. They have kids to raise and they have parents to take care of. Yeah. But some of it may be hormonal. So what's going on with that, and what are the different roles that estrogen and progesterone play?
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, it's, again, women of a certain age, you know, sometime in our mid-30s, I mean, hormones start to shift, and some point in our 40s, whether it's our mid-40s, late-40s, early-50s, we're going to start to feel some things change as estrogen and progesterone ratios kind of change, and, you know, adrenal stress is usually catching up with us at the same time. You know, for me, it's a lot less about how much progesterone do you have and how much estrogen do you have, as to kind of what's the ratio looking like, because I find that when we're out of balance, and usually out of balance in America means we're kind of estrogen dominant, so we've kind of got more estrogen going on than progesterone, and in perimenopause, progesterone is the first hormone that drops. It drops many years before we actually see a final drop in estrogen. And so we can start to see changes in sleep, mood changes, you know, issues with weight gain, with thinking and cognition. You know, and ideally, I like to get in there as early as I can, start really working with the adrenals, start working with diet and lifestyle, start with supplements and herbs to support all those things. I mean, we kind of know the end game, right? We know where we're going. We're not going to make these ovaries turn back time, but to try to kind of keep things in ratio. And then often I will start by introducing some progesterone first, if I can. And often that can really make the years leading up to estrogen dropping much better. It can really help with sleep, and it can help with mood. It can support the adrenals and support that calmness. I mean, progesterone has a real kind of feel good calm associated with it when we have adequate levels, and it can restore the period for a little bit of time. But you know, eventually it's going to kind of catch up, and the estrogen levels are going to start to drop, and then there's the consideration of whether or not we want to go towards adding estrogen as well. And there's a lot there, because the data is a moving target. It's constantly changing, you know, and I spend a lot of time just really trying to educate patients about the risks, the benefits, you know, the possibilities.
It's really a choice. And I think my job is to inform women of the risks and the benefits, and to try and differentiate, you know, where it's imperative to take bioidentical hormones and where some women may prefer to go through menopause naturally.
Absolutely.
With nutritional support, perhaps some herbs. And,
right.
You know, I'm not someone who, and I'm sure you're not, who argues that menopause is a medical condition that needs to be treated with prescription drugs.
No, not at all. And it is that kind of conversation. It really comes down to personal choice and trying to do my best to educate women on what their different options are. I mean, even in the realm of bioidentical hormones, there are different options, and there's lots of different ways to do it, and there's lots of people out there doing it differently. And I don't know about you, but my patients tend to be incredibly well-educated, you know, and they're coming in ready to have some serious discussion.
Right, and that's important.
Yeah.
A question that we often ask, and it actually sheds light on how women might respond to progesterone in particular, either, you know, as a topical cream or sometimes as an oral prescription medication, is we ask women, how did you feel during pregnancy? And some women will say, gee, you know, I waited such a long time to get pregnant, and had I known, I would have had four or five kids, because I just, every time I've been pregnant, the two pregnancies I had or the one pregnancy I had, I just felt marvelous. I was so relaxed. I was so calm, and I was free of a variety of symptoms that then came back like gangbusters at the end of the pregnancy. So that suggests, usually, a potential for a good response to progesterone. Not all women respond well to progesterone, but that sort of story is very suggestive of the potential to respond well to progesterone later in life.
Absolutely, and it's a pretty common story. You know, I guess many female patients who will say they never felt better than towards the end of their pregnancy, and they usually do well with some progesterone. I agree.
If you could recommend, people are obviously, this is complex, and I know that you don't like to talk about quick fixes. You like to take a comprehensive approach to the problem of stress, which is correct. But if you had to recommend just a couple of steps or supplements that people could access to help them deal with stress, what would you recommend? I mean, there are many things out there, you know, things like kava and valerian and L-theanine. Which do you think takes the edge off daily stress?
You know what? My favorite thing for taking the edge off, I like Livella. Are you familiar with that product?
No, I'm not.
It's made by Integrative Therapeutics. Mm-hmm. So you're not really going to find it in the health food store, but you can certainly find it online.
From doctors.
It is a standardized extract of lavender essential oil. So it's in an enteric-coated capsule. It makes it through your stomach.
So it's L-A-V-E-L-L-A?
L-A-V-E-L-A.
Okay.
Livella.
Right.
And I find it really gently takes off the edge. And it's generally designed to take one a day. I have patients who take it more often. I've taken it myself. It's just very soft and really takes the edge off. I think kava is great, but I think kava, for me, is much more useful, as I've seen, when there's really acute anxiety.
Right. You get a little stoned from it, actually. It's hard to do afterwards.
And if you're really just looking to take the edge off, you're gonna feel like you've seriously taken some edges off.
Yeah.
So it may not be for you. The Livella, you know, doesn't do that. It makes you very functional and just kind of lightens up the load a little bit. You know, as we discussed, fish oil, a little bit of vitamin D, you know, 2,000 IUs, unless you've had a test that shows that you're deficient, in which case you may want to do more. Your doctor can help you with that. I love that, you know, methylfolate, methyl B12, I think are really important. I really try to talk to people about prioritizing a good night's sleep, being active in your body. Now, activity is another thing, right? Because if somebody is too depleted and has been dealing with a lot of adrenal stress, but they tell you that, you know, hey, doc, the one thing that I do is I get up every morning and I do my 6-mile run. You know, that's what's saving me. It actually might be making them worse. You have to be careful because a lot of exercise will increase those stress hormones. If you're very depleted.
We actually see that in athletes who are overtraining, as they'll have high levels of cortisol because it's the body's response to stress. And, you know, some people think all pounding out all those miles is relaxing them. And to some extent, you know, it's hard to be, you know, stressed while you're, you know, well, you're exerting yourself at that level or feel stressed psychologically, that may be good. But you may be building up stress in your body.
Exactly. And so, you know, really talking to those people about, you know, maybe bringing that down a little bit, figuring out how to increase bouts of yoga, tai chi, qigong, you know, things that, again, are going to support that parasympathetic nervous system. And try to talk to people a lot about relationship, cultivating and prioritizing relationships and activities in our lives that actually make us feel nurtured and supported. You know, if we can actually take the time to identify some of those things and prioritize making time for them, just like we prioritize getting good food on the table or getting to the gym, because I really believe that it's those acts of self-love and self-care that they really help us manage our stress. I mean, for women, it increases our oxytocin levels, helps our libido, makes us communicate better, helps us manage our stress, you know, and it's going to make us be able to take care of the people in our lives even better. And you got to put your own oxygen mask on first, you know?
Exactly. Take care of number one. Well, okay, so what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? You have a website, and you're... office is located in Santa Cruz, California, for some of our listeners who are in that area. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I actually have two offices. I'm in Santa Cruz and Campbell. Campbell's closer to San Jose. My website is www.drshunney.com. I do phone consults for people that are out of town, too. And then on my website, I have some videos and some articles and some things that are free and accessible, some of them about some of the topics we talked about today. I would also mention Nordic Naturals, www.nordicnaturals.com, for anyone who'd like more information about the health benefits of fish oil, for which there are many. And, of course, you can get a free sample of fish oil if you go to their website as well.
Oh, that's fabulous. Tell us about that offer.
yeah, if you just go, it's to www.nordicnaturals.com. You'll see right there on that homepage that there's a way to get a free sample. And so, you know, even if you've tried fish oil in the past, or especially if you haven't, it's a great way to kind of experience it, to see that it might not, you know, that it's not your grandmother's cod liver oil, that it is tasty and easy to take, an easy commitment to make.
But a caveat here, if you take six or eight that they give you in their sample, I don't know how many they give you, it will not instantaneously reduce your stress. It takes time with fish oil.
No, it's true. You do.
It's a process.
Have to make bigger commitment.
we're talking. I mean, I find that it's marvelous for depression, bipolar disease, even very serious psychological disorders, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's not like conventional medication where, you know, you take a Xanax and, like, you know, 2 hours later you're kind of zonked out. Fish oil is very subtle, and it changes the brain very slowly and makes you less reactive to stressful situations. So your lows may be a little higher, and your stressful reactions may be a little bit more easy to cope with, and you'll notice this very gradually but not instantaneously. So get the free sample, enjoy it, but try to take fish oil over a longer period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I always think of fish oil as a womb to tomb proposition. I mean, it is really appropriate for every stage of development and every stage of life. And I'm a less is more girl when it comes to supplements, but I do think that fish oil is one of those things that the vast majority of us would benefit from taking.
Well, great stuff. Mention again the website.
www.nordicnaturals.com and get the free sample of fish oil. And of course, for me, I'm www.drshunney.com.
Shunney. Great.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Dr. M.A. Shunney. You provided us with a great primer on stress and a natural approach to stress for this.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Hoffman. It was a real pleasure.
My pleasure. So now our audience is fully equipped to face the rest of National Stress Awareness Month.
All right.
And the coming busy season ahead.
Excellent.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.